Hello and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again for another episode of our extraordinarily unexpected, wonderful podcast. And I say unexpected because, Justin, when we got into doing this, there was no sense of it becoming what it has become for me, and it's a real miracle. So I'm really glad to be here, glad to keep on keeping on being in the conversation and have it be a central part of my life to keep talking in this way with you. So thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie. Hello, everyone. Thank you too. I'm full of turning towards life today because we are recording this at an unusual time. Normally, you know this, Lizzie, but normally we meet on a Sunday morning, and because of various things that are happening, we're recording this on a Wednesday night in the middle of the third month of our Turning Towards Life live program, which we've been running since September. So we are doing this while a whole group of other people are also in a Turning Towards Life conversation in their own Zoom breakout rooms, which feels quite a thing. There's a big energetic something going on because of this conversation, and it feels good to be able to say that and to honor all the people who've shown up to do this and making community together and real conversation about big questions. And actually, everyone's tussling with, I think, quite a life-giving but challenging source tonight. So for any of you who are watching or listening, if you're interested in joining us for that, turningtowards.life is the place to go and look. You can sign up already for the second season, which begins early in 2026. And you can support this project here. Lots of people do that. There's lots of ways of supporting us, and you can join the mailing list. And you can also head over, if you wish, to thirdspace.org and find out about Third Space and everything we're up to there. We are gearing up to a very full and generous 2026, particularly if you want to learn coaching in the very particular way that we do it. So those are some places you can go. And then here is our source for this week. And we're going to do the ordinary thing, Lizzie, and I'm going to read it and you're going to read it, and we're going to see what unfolds between us. And this short but punchy piece by Seth Godin, who now and again we've returned to Seth's work. And in fact, I want to just thank Seth, because it was from some learning with him that this project happened at all, because Seth makes this huge invitation to people to show up and contribute and be generous. And that's how we got thinking about this in the first place. So thank you to Seth. So you can find the source always in the show notes, on the website, in the email. And this is called Be Yourself. It goes like this: Be yourself. Really? Which self? The self you were when you were screaming. Oh, no, that's wrong. The self you were when you were 2 years old, almost out of diapers. The self you were when you were screaming with the fans at the big game. The self you were after a long night. How about this? Become the self you'd be proud to be. Hang out with people and ideas that help you become that self. Act like that self every chance you get.
Thanks, Justin. Be Yourself by Seth Godin. Be yourself. Really? Which self? The self you were when you were 2 years old, almost out of diapers. The self you were when you were screaming with the fans at the big game. The self you were after a long night. How about this? Become the self you'd be proud to be. Hang out with people and ideas that help you become that self. Act like that self every chance you get.
So I've been, Lizzie, I've been sitting on this source for a long time. And I'm really glad to bring it. And it brings me great delight to read it, because I know what I love about it, which is that this is a source about being ourselves as a creative act rather than as an act of resignation. I was thinking when you were reading about all the times that we, and of course I've done this too, I've been a particular way, maybe a particular way that was difficult for me or difficult for other people and at odds with who I really long to be. And I say to myself or other people, well, that's just how I am. No, mate, it's just how I am. And I know that sometimes that is also true, that I get caught in things that I don't know yet what to do with, how to shift my mood or how to shift my generosity. Or I really do think that there is something at the heart of us that is ourself. But I also think that something is incredibly malleable. Mm. I think it can be, I think we become by how we choose to live, and we make ourselves by, in every interaction, that we're not a fixed something ever. And so this is really important because what I'm feeling now is a certain kind of fierceness, actually, which is the world really needs us. Like, the people around us really need us. The world really needs us to pay attention to what we're making by how we're being. And if we knew, as Seth invites us, if we knew that we could play a huge part in what kind of self we were by, and these are brilliant words, hanging out with people and ideas that help us become that self. Not the same as hang out with the people who I like and the people who make me comfortable. Maybe that's part of it. Find the people who will help me become the kind of person that I long to be. Find the ideas that will help me become. Notice the effect that other people and ideas have on me. Act in accordance with the values and qualities that I want to bring. And then we have a chance of making something together. That's, I think, is both true and brave and difficult and necessary. And if we saw it as not as fixing ourselves, but as being creators, being artists, being makers, which I think is kind of unusual for us to think of ourselves that way. Who might we be if we thought of ourselves that way? And I know when I think of myself that way, I get so much more of a chance to experiment and to practice and to stay faithful to endlessly becoming something, something and someone that I want to be because I'm choosing it rather than because I'm subject to something else.
Yeah. You're making me think, Justin, as you're talking about the difference between this that you're saying and fitting in, and how I think so much of life is often kind of implicit is you have to just fit in wherever you go, and you have to be adaptable and all of that. And probably that is true in lots of circumstances and whatever. But I also can feel, and actually I was talking to one of our students on this year's professional coaching course today about this. In our work, it feels kind of inherent in what we're doing with our clients to be someone who is a healthy version of relating, of being in relationship. Because I think often lots of us don't have many examples of people around us who are treating us very well, just on a kind of simple level. And so to have an experience of feeling seen and feeling centered by another person and feeling like, oh, I can be myself here. I don't have to hide things. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to twist myself around to feel like I'm okay here. I can be received. This is a different experience. And to have that experience of going, oh, I can be myself here. And then taking that experience and realizing that that is possible in the world and seeking out that which the people around which I feel like I come to life, or the work that I feel around that I can come to life, or the social situations where I feel like I can come to life. Like, it's possible to live that way, like you said, as a creative act. And I think part of our work is really often, sometimes being the sane, safe, receiving presence that has people, our clients, people around us go, oh, okay, I could belong in a really different way than I've ever experienced before. If there were other people who had the same capacity to receive me, to see me, to be in relationship with me in a generous way. And that we can give each other permission to seek those things out, that we can find our tribe, that we can feel like, oh, I can just breathe deeply because I feel at home here. That is all possible. And I feel really grateful for you naming it as a creative act, that we can find our authorship. We can make choices. We don't have to just stay where we are if it's not serving us. We can be creative about it. And this whole thing about being a self that I would be proud of, arranging my life so that the self that I get to be is one I'm proud of, I think is such a beautiful, simple, straightforward invitation from Seth. Because what I'm proud of is not necessarily what I got taught I should be. What I'm proud of is not necessarily what the world says that this woman in this body should be doing. That might not be what actually makes me feel proud of the life that I'm building that's mine and the path that's my own. So I'm feeling really inspired and kind of led by Seth's invitation, and also the way you're saying it, Justin, of like, this is a creative act and creativity is risky and we don't know what's going to happen. We're birthing something. It's almost like giving permission to birth our life as ours and distinguish between what's my kind of erupting inner presence and longings and gifts versus what the world kind of told me that I should be or what I should do when I was forming myself.
Also, I'm thinking, Lizzie, also what I've told myself I am. The one that when I pay attention to the become the self I'd be proud to be might well be different from a story I've told about myself so far. As well as the story that the world tells about who I should be. So there's a kind of, I can feel that there's a both a no and a yes required here. One of the things that's difficult about what Seth is inviting here is that we have to be prepared to look accurately and honestly at the who I'm being in the world, who I am actually currently right now making myself into by the choices I make. Now, how I choose to respond to you, how I choose to listen to you, not only affects you, it also affects me. And it is really hard to look and to say, I'm not proud of that. I'm not, there's some way in which I'm not comfortable with how I'm bringing myself into the world. And in order to do that, we have to face shame and self-criticism. But the path through, I think, is to remember then this point about it always being a creative act, that there is never one of the kind of a birthright heritages of being a human, like that's handed to us from the start, is that we can be lots of things, that we can be lots of different ways. So I'm feeling like in order to do this, we have to hold both a sort of honest accounting, a willingness to be uncomfortable with what we find, a trust in the inherent goodness and creativity of being a person. So no matter what I find, none of that means that my who I get to be is sealed. There's still a million ways to be. And that none of this is about what happens to us. None of this is about what's happening to us in our lives. It's about how we respond to what happens to us in our lives. That's the place that the gift lies. That's the place in which we get to practice. because my life might go this way or that way or that way or this way. I mean, I don't know, all kinds of things happen. Can I keep on practicing the creative act of acting as the one that I want to be every chance I get?
Yeah, it feels like a place of a place where I have some power over my life, like as in I get to choose how to respond, like you say, whether to stick around or move myself away or engage in the conversation or decide that's not the kind of conversation that's going to help me or serve me or serve the other person. And I think it feels like it's putting, I don't know, power back in our own hands to say, I have some choices. And like you said, it's not easy to see oneself and decide that I don't want to be this way anymore. And I feel so faithful these days to those parts being seen and knowing that they're not too bad to be involved in the conversation of healing and welcome. And so that honesty feels like it's more and more available and more, I guess there's less defense. You know, I feel like the more we do this, Justin, and the more we encounter the complexity of life and the goodness knows, I don't, you know, on some level, I literally don't know what's going on ever. I mean, of course I do when I'm trying to cook some peas or something, but I don't know really what's going on between us humans, what on earth we're here for. It's all rather mysterious. But I can feel that defensiveness is often a way to integrate something, to welcome something, to look deeper, to wonder why on earth I feel so defensive about this particular thing, like what's happening in me, why I feel particularly shameful about something, and to know that there's a place for that, and to know that there's a conversation that can hold that, and to so that we can make these choices to be this self that we're proud of, and anything that comes in between us stepping towards that we know there's a home for it. We know we could bring it to each other. We know we could bring it to other places in our lives where someone says, tell me more. I'm really interested in what happens when you step forward to be something you'd love to be and something else happens than what you intend or whatever. So I'm feeling really grateful in this moment that we know that we have that. And it's possible for human beings to bring themselves to one another in this way and to be in conversation about what it means to be a self that I'm proud of. And for that to be a legitimate inquiry and a wondering and a reflection and a conversation for this, what seems to me in these moments like rather precious life experience of being human, we get to have these conversations and wonder what we're best used for, what this self actually means and what it's actually gifted with and what we might aim for that has us feel proud to be ourselves.
I'm very struck by what you said about defensiveness, Lizzie. So there is one way of reading Seth's words here, which would sound a little bit like, well, just pull yourself together and be the one that you want to be, which actually I think has a lot going for it, but it's obviously way too simplistic because even when we decide that we want to do that, which is the first step, you know, in a way, sort of to take ourselves in hand, to say, I have a part in creating myself here through how I live, we will inevitably run up against all those places where we fall terribly short of what we're imagining. Like I know it for myself, all the places I want to be truthful and I pull back and I say something not quite true in order to belong. All the places I really want to be kind to someone, but because I'm hurting, I hurt them instead. All the places which I avoid, all the, you know, of course. And so in order to do this, we have to we have to also be very gentle with ourselves. It seems to me that we have to be gentle and bold at the same time. The boldness is the faithfulness that it's possible to grow ourselves, change ourselves, unfold ourselves, become ourselves as we go through life step by step. And the gentleness is to both forgive ourselves, but also encounter all the times that we find that despite our best intentions, we fell very, very far short of the one that we longed to be. And so that has to be included here as well. And that's where I think, where I'm picking up this thread that you've been bringing in about who we get to be for one another. Because I think for me, part of this hang out with people and hang out with people that help you to become that self is we can ask ourselves, who do I need to be in order for other people to be able to become the selves that they're proud of? Involves the kind of qualities you've been talking about, the courage and the kindness and the patience to listen and to ask and to inquire and to welcome. And when you do something, Lizzie, my way that feels hurtful or confusing or something, can I also be the one who asks you what's happening for you and is curious about that rather than all the shutting down and pulling away that we do? So Seth's invitation, actually, it asks us not only to hang out with the people and ideas that help us to become that self, it asks us, who are we called to be the ones that around whom other people can author themselves, in which there is permission and encouragement to make all of the mistakes and all of the missteps and all of the confusions and all of the experimenting and all of the practice it takes to do anything creative. None of us have ever made ourselves completely into the ones that we want to be. So it's always an experimental act. It's like painting a new painting for the first time, or maybe like painting for the first time when we've never painted before. Yeah. It's going to be incredibly messy. So ask something of all of us towards ourselves and towards one another, I think.
You're reminding me, Justin, of a really lovely friend of mine who taught me guitar. And it's not like he taught me so well that I'm now really good at guitar or something, but we went through a process of learning guitar together. And the first thing he did with me was a kind of guitar improv situation. And I'm remembering the kind of safety that needed to be there in order for me to feel like I could just do anything, because it was to loosen my defensiveness, to loosen my rigidity, to kind of soften into the vulnerability of being creative or whatever. And I'm just thinking about us being that for one another. And the word that's coming to me is this word safety, of like, how do we be safe both for ourselves to be in creativity like this about ourselves and our lives and our reflective practice or whatever? And how do we then extend that safety to others? That you can ask that big question, Justin, of who you would be proud to be in the world. And I'm going to be interested in that question with you. And you can safely experiment with ideas or things out there that you bring back here that we can work, process together and wonder what happened and what brought you to life and what didn't bring you to life. And how do we be that kind of safety and curiosity, that combination of safety and curiosity and undefendedness with one another, so that this creativity can arise in us? I'm really grateful for this conversation, Justin, and grateful for us really actually kind of reaching for these distinctions, this language to work with the source and each other and to find different ground through language. It's miraculous to me. So thank you for this thing that we do. And finding different threads to pull on and different ground to stand on and wandering through it together with one another. I'm really grateful. And we'll be back next week with a source chosen by me. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. See you next week.